you up on all things Texas Rangers and Major League Baseball. It's time for the Rangers Wrap-Up. Here's your host, Taylor Phillips.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into the latest edition of the Rangers Wrap-Up here on 103.3 FM ESPN. My name's Taylor Phillips. This is your all-new, all-baseball show here on the station, coming at you every Saturday afternoon, usually at 4 o'clock. Sometimes that changes, just like last week. The Rangers had a day game against the Minnesota Twins right before the All-Star break, so I was on after Mike Peasley's post-game show. But today, back in our normal time slot at 4 o'clock, and there's a ton to get to on today's show. And let's just start with your Rangers as they open up the All-Star break on Thursday night, the only game going on in Major League Baseball. We had the game right here on 103.3 FM ESPN. It was on nationally on ESPN television. It was kind of cool. I was at the game in the press box, and I was able to see Alex Rodriguez and Matt Vasgersian up there. That was kind of cool. I hadn't seen them before at a game. And the Rangers, man, they've come out of the break on fire. They win on Thursday night, 5-0. Lance Lynn, 11 strikeouts. We'll get into all that, of course. Last night, Danny Santana with a huge game, home run and a walk-off single in the ninth to cap off a crazy game last night at Globe Life Park. The Rangers winning that one 9-8. There were 9 home runs and hit in that game. And there's just so much to dive into just from two games. It was good that we have two really interesting games to talk about. They have a lot of serious implications moving forward because we're still not quite sure what the Rangers are going to do at the trade deadline. John Daniels had some comments yesterday about what the plan may be, or at least as he sat on July 12th yesterday, what he thinks could happen, especially as that pertains to Mike Minor, which, since that's the biggest name that they've been had rumored to be floating out there or possibly looking to move. And they did make a trade today as well. Not the same pitcher you thought might get dealt, but they still made a trade nonetheless with the Tampa Bay Rays that we'll dive into in the next segment. And also later on in the show, at 4:30, we're going to dive into a little bit. I know we're a couple days removed from it, but I do want to go back to the All-Star game and the Home Run Derby. We had both of those games here on 103.3 FM ESPN, and there was a lot of excitement in the Home Run Derby for sure. Vlad Guerrero Jr., Pete Alonso, Jock Peterson, Ronald Acuna Jr. I thought it was one of the best Home Run Derbies ever, and we'll dive into a little bit of those. We'll hear some calls from that, and we'll also hear from the winner, Pete Alonso, as well as just a really cool moment last night in Anaheim. I was up here filling in for Mike Peasley for Rangers postgame show, and as we were getting into the postgame show at about 10:15, we're about an hour into the Angels and Mariners game, and before the game, Angels had a cool ceremony to remember their late teammate Tyler Skaggs, who passed away a couple weeks ago when the Angels were here in town to face the Rangers. And we talked about that on last week's show and just the emotion that those guys had and how hard it was for them to have to, they didn't play that night, but having to come back the next day while they're still grieving and play. You know, we're still not that far away from that, you know, only a couple weeks ago. And last night, hold a ceremony for him, and the Angels did something just tremendous. If you haven't heard what they did, I'll fill you in on that at 4:30, because it was one of, it was not just a cool sports moment, it's a cool life moment. If you just like all the extra stats that came with it, just the, if you want to call it a coincidence, a higher power, whatever, it was tremendous. It's just a tremendous night for baseball and a tremendous night for the Angels considering the circumstances. And we got plenty to hear from that. We'll hear from manager Brad Ausmus. We'll hear from Mike Trout, who homered in the game. We'll hear from some of the key pitchers involved. And I won't tell you what happened if you don't know yet. So 4:30, really cool moment with the Angels. And also, the last segment at 4:50, we're going to dive into some possible trade rumors that have been floating around in Major League Baseball. There's more going on than just Mike Minor what-ifs. Plenty of teams looking to add pieces, maybe sell off some pieces. Teams up in New York might be looking a little different here in a couple weeks. The Mets and the Yankees, and we'll get into that. Maybe a key pitcher on the Cleveland Indians might be finding a new home, which teams might be looking to add. Plenty to get into. We're about 2 weeks away from the only trade deadline. Not going to have a July 31st trade deadline, then another non-waiver deadline later on in the summer. One day where it's all going to get done, so really looking forward to that on July 31st. So much is going to change between now and then. So plenty to get to on this episode. The Rangers Wrap-Up, again, your all-new, all-baseball show on Saturday afternoons at 4 o'clock here on 103.3 FM ESPN. Thank you for joining me. My name's Taylor Phillips. Coming up next, we dive into those Texas Rangers, the two big games they've had to open the All-Star break, what's gone right, and what to expect tonight. That's coming up next here on 103.3 FM ESPN. Welcome back to the Rangers wrap-up here on 103.3 FM ESPN. My name's Taylor Phillips. This is your all-new, all-baseball show here on 103.3 FM ESPN. Coming up at 4:30, we dive back into the Home Run Derby briefly. The All-Star Game, a really cool couple of nights in Cleveland, and as well as a really just emotional, awesome night last night in Anaheim. We'll get into that at 4:30. And then at 4:50, we'll dive into some possible trades coming down the pipe in Major League Baseball as we get a little bit closer to the trade deadline on July 31st. But as the name of the show is, the Rangers wrap up. Let's wrap up what the Rangers have done. There's not a whole lot to wrap up, considering this was the All-Star break. But still, only game on Thursday night, Rangers-Astros. And what a game it was. Rangers play last night as well. They win both of them. 2-0 against the Houston Astros right out of the gate. Really couldn't ask for anything better if you're a Rangers fan, because this was a very important stretch of the schedule, because we came out of the All-Star break knowing 7 of their first 9 were going to be against the Houston Astros. 4 at Globe Life Park this weekend and 3 down in Houston next weekend, with 2 games against the Diamondbacks wedged in between. And after these 2 games, the Rangers are now only 7 back of the American League West, still behind Oakland. I say only 7, but think about where we were a week ago. Some progress there. And then the wild card, they're a game and a half back, with Cleveland holding that second spot. Oakland, a half game back of Cleveland. They're playing right now against the White Sox, so that could change before I start Rangers Insider a little bit later this afternoon, which, by the way, I'm doing that. Rangers Insider filling in for Mike Peasley at 6 o'clock, getting you ready for Rangers-Astros tonight. But let's go back to Thursday night briefly, as the Rangers opened up the second half of the season. Nationally televised game. We had the game right here on 103.3 FM ESPN, the national ESPN radio call. And the Rangers go out and win 5-0. Rougned Odor, 2 doubles in this one, 2 for 3. A lot of talk about him trying to piece it all together in the second half. And the last show before I came on, Harry Saad in the Chamber of Sports, Harrison Graham and Saad Youssef, were talking about Rougned Odor and how we've seen this before, where he'll kind of get hot for a little bit and then it'll sort of fizzle out. And I think that's a very fair assessment. And then last night on Rangers Insider, I kind of broke down a little bit how Rougned Odor does tend to be a better player in the second half. There is some noticeable improvement both in the strikeout numbers and OPS and everything, but you got to see it, and you got to see it for multiple days and multiple weeks, really. And last night, 3 strikeouts for him, so couldn't piece back-to-back big nights together, but Rougned Odor with a solid night on Thursday night. But the real story on Thursday night was Lance Lynn, who had 11 wins going into this one, had a chance to be the first in the majors to notch 12 wins, and he does just that. 7 innings, strikes out 11, doesn't give up any runs, and he has some help offensively, of course, right away. The Rangers put up a 4 spot against Framber Valdez of the Astros. Yeah, if you're wondering who Framber Valdez is, I was learning who he was with you on Thursday night when I was there. So not exactly Gerrit Cole or Justin Verlander the first night, even though they did face Gerrit Cole last night. And we'll get into that in a second. But on Thursday night, Rangers put up a 4 spot from Lance Lynn. And he did have to kind of labor through the first couple of innings. There were some base runners on for the Astros. He had to kind of work. I think he was getting to about 45 or so pitches after 2 innings. You're thinking, okay, he needs to kind of figure it out here. We might be looking at a bit of a bullpen empty on the very first day post-All-Star break. But he was able to turn it around anytime there were base runners on. After that point, he was able to get out, usually by form of strikeout. He gets 11 of them, which ties his season high that he had back in Seattle in May. And he was one short of his career high, by the way. He had 12 strikeouts back in 2012 against the White Sox. So Lance Lynn with 11 strikeouts on Thursday night. And his manager, Chris Woodward, spoke about the big night Lynn had.
Some pitchers are like that, though. I think Samson's a lot like that, too, where once he gets in a rhythm and it becomes easier to, you know, not only get through innings but get guys out quickly. You see him, like, I can't tell from the side where pitches are on the plate, but it's like, boom, strike one. You know, early in the game it was same height but ball. So it was like you could tell he was leaving then ball up. But late in the game, yeah, he does. Once he kind of finds where he needs to be that day, sometimes he starts out that way and it's dominant the whole time, but a lot of times he'll figure it out either in the first or second inning, and then you just let him go from there because he doesn't really get tired. His stuff almost plays better because he always tells me after like 95, he goes, I'm just getting loose.
He even said afterwards, after that quote, Rangers manager Chris Woodward said, if Lance Lynn would have been pitching in the 70s or the 80s, he could have thrown like 170 pitches or something, and threw out some crazy number, just because the guy just seems like he's never tired out there, and he didn't look like it on Thursday night. Again, 11 strikeouts, and that's what you needed. You needed someone to set the tone for the team coming out of the break. You knew the stretch on the schedule was going to be hard. Their future, as far as the deadline's concerned, is still up in the air. And Lance Lynn putting out a solid first outing since the All-Star break, going 7 innings, no runs allowed, 11 strikeouts, as the Rangers go on to beat the Astros 5-0. But now let's move on to last night's game, as the Rangers beat the Astros 9-8. And there's so much to dive into from the offensive side of things, but I'll get into just real quickly. Gerrit Cole, despite giving up the 3 home runs, 13 strikeouts over 6 innings, watching him pitch in his fastball, he was getting up to 100 a couple times last night. People talk about free agency next year and what his new team could be. There are a lot of people in this park that want to see Gerrit Cole wearing a Texas Rangers uniform next year. Whatever it's going to take. I've heard Anthony Rendon's name, the third baseman for the Nationals, his name as well. Both would be great. If you can get one or the other or both, that'd be a phenomenal offseason. But Gerrit Cole, I'd have no problem. If you're able to, let's say hypothetically, they don't trade Mike Minor, nothing happens with Lance Lynn, and you go in to be able to sign Gerrit Cole, and you have a Gerrit Cole, Mike Minor, Lance Lynn, 1-2-3. That's a very good rotation you'd have next year, assuming everybody's healthy. That's wishful thinking, and that's for another day, a little bit later in the year. But last night, Gerrit Cole, 13 strikeouts. But the real story was the home run ball, as there were 9 total home runs hit in this game. You had Yordan Alvarez of the Astros hitting a pair of home runs. Yulieski Gurriel hit a home run. Jose Altuve hit a home run. Basically, everybody hit a home run, except for the guys I picked on Home Run Derby. Because if you're not familiar, during Rangers Insider, Mike Peasley will pick two guys who he thinks are going to hit a home run. He'll take a caller, a fan will pick two players, one for the Astros, one for the Rangers, and then the producer will pick one player from each team to hit a home run. The fans got a point last night. Chris Gross, the producer, got a point last night. I got nothing. There were 9 home runs hit in the game, and I got nothing. No points at all. I picked Elvis Andrus and Michael Brantley, and Michael Brantley's trying to get his 100th homer, and nothing. And Mike Peasley let me know about it on Twitter after the game, and he's letting me know how there's 9 home runs hit in the game, and I couldn't get anybody right. So I got to try to redeem myself here in about 2 hours, and I do Home Run Derby again tonight on Rangers Insider. But let's get to some of the key plays last night. So right away, you had Jesse Chavez starting for the Rangers. He pitches a clean first inning, and we'll get more on him in a second. But Shin-Soo Choo came up in the bottom of the first and set the tone early for the Rangers.
He's back with another heater, and this ball is turned around. Deep out to right. Gone! 2 into the bleachers, and the Rangers get that first run of the night. Number 14 for Choo, and it's 1-0.
So that got the scoring going for the Rangers right away. Shin-Soo Choo with his 14th home run. And by the way, in every game he's played in this month, he's been able to get a hit. So all 8 games he's played in July, Shin-Soo Choo is already looking good. And today's actually Shin-Soo Choo's birthday, so shout out to him. Maybe might be my pick for Home Run Derby tonight. Didn't do it last night. He was the only other guy other than Joey Gallo who's had home runs against Gerrit Cole in his career going into last night. So Shin-Soo Choo getting the home runs going early. After that, in the top of the second, the Astros would take the lead on a Yuli Gurriel home run. But in the bottom of the second, super utility guy, kind of been the outside of the Hunter Pence and the Joey Gallo All-Star campaign, the superstar offensively for this team, Danny Santana, came up in the bottom of the second.
Ball one strike to Santana, and he hits this ball a ton out to right. That ball carrying well up there and into the home run porch. A massive shot for Danny Santana, and he's tied this game at 2.
Dave Raymond on the call there for Fox Sports Southwest, by the way. So Danny Santana there with the home run, his 10th of the year, and you run out of things to say about Danny Santana, because he just do it all. Plays all over the field, hits well, can run. It's a good fielder, mind you, when he's out there playing wherever. It's amazing just what the Rangers have been able to do this year on such value pickups. Hunter Pence, Danny Santana, these guys are they're delivering day in and day out. And I know we're not going to see Hunter Pence at least for another day. He's supposed to do another game in Frisco tonight. There was a chance he was going to come back tonight, but still no Hunter Pence. But Danny Santana in that same kind of that same boat there of a minor league deal and just paying off huge dividends for the Rangers. And then flash forwarding to the game last night, Jose Altuve homers in the fifth. But before that, let me play this real quick before we get to that. Joey Gallo came up in the bottom of the fourth.
Two-strike pitch, and this ball hit well, deep to right, gone! And Gallo is tied it up. 21st home run of the season for Joey, and it's 3-3.
That was cool for a couple of reasons. One, that was his fourth career home run off Gerrit Cole, which that is not an easy guy to hit home runs off of. So Joey Gallo taking him deep for the fourth time in his career. But just like Shin-Soo Choo's home run in the first inning, both came on 0-2 counts. So really good veteran hitting there from Joey Gallo last night, getting a home run on the two-strike count. That was absolutely big. That tied the game up at 3-3 in the bottom of the fourth. Then Jose Altuve would homer in the top of the fifth. And let's move ahead here to the bottom of the eighth inning. So Yordan Alvarez has already homered twice. We're not going to have time to hear those home run calls. I'm sure if you're a Ranger fan, you don't really want to hear them anyway. And let's go to the bottom of the eighth, where Texas was trailing by three. So they put up a run in the bottom of the seventh, so they're trailing by two, excuse me. And then the bottom of the eighth, Ronald Guzman came up and had just probably the most clutch moment of the night.
Frustrated the Houston side quite a bit. This ball pounded down the right field line, and we're tied up off the pole. Ronald Guzman's eighth home run of the year has evened the score of the eighth.
Just clutch hitting from Ronald Guzman, someone who's kind of struggled with the bat most of the year. That was his eighth homer of the year. He wasn't even in the starting lineup on Thursday night. Had somebody else out there playing first base. I think it was Danny Santana. I need to go back and look real quick, but I'm pretty sure that's who was playing first base. Yeah, it was Danny Santana on Thursday night, and then Guzman came in as a defensive replacement. And that was just a big moment for the Rangers. That tied it up 8-8. And then, you know, quickly here, as we're moving along here on the Rangers wrap up, my name's Taylor Phillips. This is your all-new all-baseball show. Let's go to the bottom of the ninth. Elvis Andrus on base on second. Joey Gallo walked. Rougned Odor strikes out. So there's two outs. Elvis on second. Danny Santana with a chance to play the hero.
Santana out to center field. It's got to get down. It does! And Santana's won it! Elvis comes in from second. And the Rangers walk it off 9-8.
So Danny Santana with the heroics in the bottom of the ninth. And that, for a second, that hit looked like it might get caught by George Springer. He hit it right to dead center, and you saw Springer make a play on it, and he kind of has to lay out for it, because if you don't dive and try to play it safe, you're still with two outs having to worry about trying to throw out Elvis Andrus, who by no means is a slow runner. So it might take a good throw to try to get him out. So George Springer kind of letting it loose there, diving, and it, even in the post game, Danny Santana was saying, like, I thought he might catch it when the way he was going out for it, and Rangers get some fortunate there. Springer can't come up with it. The Rangers win 9-8. They take the first two games of the four-game series with the Astros here at Globe Life Park. And a note here that came from Rangers Executive Vice President of Communications, John Blake, on Twitter. The nine home runs by both clubs last night are the most at Globe Life Park since August 13th, 2010 versus Boston. The record is 10, which was set twice in 2005. Texas has five homers. They had five homers in a game for the third time this season. So a lot of fireworks last night. 4th of July was last week, but there were still a ton of fireworks last night at Globe Life Park with all the home runs that were being hit from the Rangers. And after the game, Chris Woodward spoke about the hero, Danny Santana. And we've heard him have so many things to say about Santana this year. So much praise. And Woodward last night was still giddy about this guy and the heroic night he had.
I'm not getting tired of talking about Danny Santana.
It's an inside joke,
though. Even with the homer in the first, you know, his first at bat, you know, it seems like every time he plays, he does something. And you know, he's got power, speed. Obviously, you know, he has some huge at bats for us all since he's gotten here, including his very first at bat. You know, the moment doesn't ever seem to get to him. He's very calm in those moments, and he puts good swings on balls in tough moments. And that's what, you know, when I watch our hitters, I see who can control those moments and who has trouble with them. And honestly, like, it doesn't seem to faze him. And I made a comment about their pitcher, Osuna, doesn't seem to be bothered by anything ever. And Danny was, I was like, this is a good matchup, because Danny doesn't seem to be bothered by anybody or anything. And it's just, I wasn't surprised, you know, when he got the big hit for us. And that's honestly the guy you want in that situation. You know, we have a lot of guys like that, but especially him.
I was saying last night on Rangers post game, they give out like the player for the year the Rangers will do, like in their organization. There are so many options this year between Mike Minor, Joey Gallo, Hunter Pence, and Danny Santana. I'm just glad I don't have to make that vote. I'm so glad I don't have to pick who I think would be the top Ranger. I know it's hard to not pick one of the All-Stars, or Mike Minor may end up being the Cy Young winner when it's all said and done. Who knows? But what Danny Santana has meant as far as value and what he's done, his versatility has done for the team this year, it's crazy. It's crazy they've been able to get this kind of value from someone like him and someone like Hunter Pence. It's been that kind of year for the Rangers, who are now 50-42 after last night's win. So those, it's a quick recap there of the first two games of this series. Tonight you have Mike Minor making his first start in a little while, since he didn't pitch last weekend in Minnesota. They did not want to have him start on Sunday, giving him more rest. Didn't pitch at the All-Star game, making the start tonight against Wade Miley of the Houston Astros. And again, Harrison mentioned it in his Sports Center. I'll be doing both. I'll be doing double duty today, this show, and also I'll be filling in for Mike Peasley at 6 o'clock for Rangers Insider. So a little hour in between, but we'll dive more into Mike Minor and Wade Miley and the matchup and everything tonight coming up at 6 o'clock. But coming up next here on the Rangers wrap-up, let's move back to the All-Star game and the Home Run Derby. A really awesome night in the Home Run Derby. A lot of excitement, and the All-Star game had plenty of cool things as well as a extremely memorable night in Anaheim that I think had everybody feeling very emotional. It was one of the coolest moments in my lifetime, I think, in sports, considering the circumstances. I'll dive into that next. My name's Taylor Phillips. You're listening to the Rangers Wrap-Up here on 103.3 FM ESPN. Welcome back to the Rangers Wrap-Up here on 103.3 FM ESPN. My name's Taylor Phillips. Thank you for joining me on this Saturday afternoon for your all-new, all-baseball show here on Saturdays on 103.3 FM ESPN. Coming up at 4:50, we'll dive into some possible trades that could be brewing here in a couple weeks as the trade deadline inches ever closer in Major League Baseball. And you heard Harrison Graham mention there in the Sports Center, we're doing something pretty cool here at 103.3 FM ESPN. If you go to KESN1033.com, you can vote on the top 40 sports moments in DFW history, and we'll unveil them as we go through July and August, capping off with number one on September 7th. That coincides with the ESPN radio anniversary as well, their 40th anniversary. So plenty of baseball moments on there, too. If you're someone listening to the show, I assume you're a big baseball fan. I assume you may want to have those moments, try to fight with some of the big moments with the Cowboys and the Mavericks. You have Josh Hamilton's four home run game. You got the World Series moments, of course. Nolan Ryan, no hitters. There's plenty of Rangers on there. If you want to try to show up for the baseball fans, by all means, go to KESN1033.com and vote for the ESPN 40 for 40. But let's go back to, speaking of Josh Hamilton hitting home runs, he did a lot of those for the Home Run Derby in 2008, and there were a ton of home runs hit in the Derby on Monday night. So the All-Star Game and the Home Run Derby were in Cleveland, Ohio at Progressive Field. You heard both the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game here on 103.3 FM ESPN, and what a Home Run Derby it was. You didn't get to see Christian Yelich, unfortunately. He was the number one seed. Remember, they do the brackets in the Home Run Derby. They did that, started doing that a couple years ago. So instead of Christian Yelich, who had to miss because of back stiffness, you had Matt Chapman of the Oakland A's filling his place, but everything else stayed the same. And I won't bore you with you know, the round-by-round just matchups itself, but let's just talk about the two heroes of the night, really. And I'll say three, because I'm going to throw Jock Peterson in there as well. But Vlad Guerrero Jr., my God, dude. We're talking about a guy who, as young as he is, his first year in the majors, didn't even start the year in the majors. They, of course, the service time manipulation that these teams do, which is a joke, but they did that with the Blue Jays, did that with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And people were really excited to see him in the Home Run Derby this year because his dad, of course, being the home run hitter he was, won the Home Run Derby in 2007 when the Derby was out in San Francisco by the Bay. And so people were really excited to see him. But there were also a lot of people on Twitter who didn't want to see him because he only had like eight home runs or so going into the Derby. But people were like, why would you put a guy with only eight home runs in the Derby? What a joke. And then, of course, if you're someone who's on Twitter, you know about the Freezing Cold Takes account. They were having a field day after the first round because Vladimir Guerrero Jr., 29 home runs in the first round. Insane. Absolutely insane just watching him hit just bomb after bomb. You were seeing all these tweets come up about how he shouldn't be in there. Why would they get him in there? So he moves on no problem over Matt Chapman, who hit 13. which is probably a pretty good round for most years, but 13-0 compared to the 29. And then we move on here after solid first rounds from Jock Peterson as well. He at 21. Ronald Acuña Jr. and Pete Alonso both moving on as well. You had Jock Peterson and Vlad Guerrero Jr. squaring off in the semis. Both ended up tying after the first round. So then they go to the tiebreaker. Well, then they were still tied after the tiebreaker. Then they go to the three swing-off. They were still tied after the first three swing-off. Then they had to go to another three swing-off. Vlad Guerrero was able to hold on there, hit 40 home runs in the second in the semifinals. So at that point, he's at 69 home runs after two rounds. Jock Peterson, not exactly having a bad night himself, 39 home runs in that semifinal. He finished with, finished with 60 home runs in the first two rounds, and he's out. And then you had Pete Alonso edge out Ronald Acuña Jr. in the other bracket, on the other side of the bracket in the semifinals. So you had Pete Alonso against Vlad Guerrero Jr. Vlad hits 22 home runs, maybe feeling a little tired there after putting up 69 home runs in the first two rounds. He hits 22 in the championship round, but Pete Alonso, nonetheless, holds on to win the home run derby with 23.
Now a rocket to center field, and that's gone, and here it is. Left field, it is over. And the Cousins hug at home plate. Pete Alonso greeted by Jeff McNeil and his cousin Derek Morgan. He is your 2019 T-Mobile Home Run Derby champ, and he earned it.
John Shambi on the call there for ESPN Radio as Pete Alonso edges out Vlad Guerrero Jr. to win the Home Run Derby. And quickly, let's hear from Pete Alonso, who is having a tremendous rookie season for the New York Mets, breaking all kinds of rookie records out there in their club franchise's history. And I know the Mets get kind of, they get laughed at a lot for a lot of various reasons. There's just too many to get into on this show. But Pete Alonso has been a bright spot for them this week as well. You heard mention Jeff McNeil in that as well, another rookie who's having, I don't know if he's a rookie, but another Met who's having a great year. But Pete Alonso afterwards talked about, hey, I know he won, but Vlad Guerrero Jr., man, that guy was fun to watch too.
That was so fun to watch. I'm happy I didn't face him in the early rounds because he probably would have knocked me out. But, I mean, I got to tip my cap. I mean, he's a hell of a hitter, and he's going to have a really long career. I mean, it's unbelievable.
So Pete Alonso wins the Home Run Derby. And if you were someone who was looking into this and making the rounds on MLB.com, they were actually doing a bracket challenge for this on MLB.com, and the winner would get $250,000 if you basically picked the whole bracket right and got the tiebreakers and all that. There were several tiebreakers on there. My bracket, it was okay. The only one I didn't get right in the first round was Josh Bell. I picked him to beat Ronald Acuña Jr. I think a lot of people had him winning it, actually, because of just the power he has and how far he can launch home runs, as big he is, the Irving native, of course. That to me was the most intriguing part of the bracket, was Acuña against Bell. But I had Vlad winning the whole thing. He comes up short to Pete Alonso. But someone did win. Someone won $250,000. A guy, a 26-year-old named Hunter McCary from Olive Branch, Illinois, who not only had the bracket right, he was the closest to predicting the number of home runs hit, which was a record 312. He was able to pick who would hit the longest home run, and he would also pick a couple other tiebreakers in there. It's crazy. He got so much right. He picked Pete Alonso. He had all of the extra stuff right. So shout out to Hunter there in Illinois, who's $250,000 richer. And we'll move along here to the All-Star game here on the Rangers wrap-up on 103.3 FM ESPN as the All-Stars, the American League All-Stars, beat the NL All-Stars 4-3. I won't spend too much time going back and diving into this. There was some great moments there. Michael Brantley, the former Cleveland Indian, having a big RBI double early on, as he's now a member of the Houston Astros. You had Hyunjin Ryu of the Dodgers starting for the National League. Justin Verlander starting for the American League. Both of them looked good in their one inning of work. But let's just get to the moment that people around here really cared about. As we're in a commercial break and because of a pitching change in the bottom of the seventh, barely enough time to come back to talk about it, but Joey Gallo's at the plate, ready to go, and he does this.
Smith, the lefty, fires. Swing and a rocket right field. Way back there, and gone. An absolute bullet off the bat of Joey Gallo. Dave Roberts matches up, and Joey Gallo says, left on left, not going to bother me. AL adds another. And it is now 4-1, and that was a screamer.
What a shot by Joey Gallo. And again, John Shambi on the call there for ESPN Radio, taking Will Smith of the San Francisco Giants deep in the seventh inning. And a lot of people thought, hey, the All-Star Game MVP should probably go to Joey Gallo. That was a big difference maker of a home run. Wasn't a game-winning home run, but still a huge moment for the American League. But the award ends up going to Shane Bieber of the Cleveland Indians, who struck out the side in his one inning of work, the hometown Cleveland Indian guy, who was actually, if I remember correctly, who replaced Mike Minor on the All-Star roster when they knew Minor wasn't going to pitch. So Shane Bieber winning that. A lot of people around here were upset about that. I understand why you're upset. I'm not going to really argue with you. Frankly, All-Star Game MVP is not really something I'm going to lose sleep over anyway. But I was okay with Shane Bieber winning it. That was a cool scene. And especially also in Cleveland, you had CeCe Sabathia getting his moment in the sun. He wasn't an All-Star, but he was out there getting the respect he deserves from his former home crowd there in Cleveland. And then also the cool moment with the Stand Up to Cancer scene when you had Carlos Carrasco of the Cleveland Indians, who is fighting leukemia right now, had his team out there supporting him. He's at the game, and they had all the Cleveland Indians front and center with the signs up. That was a cool moment. But that was cool, but I don't know if it really, it's as much as it's difficult for the Cleveland fans, what they're dealing with Carlos Carrasco, what Anaheim fans and Angel fans have had to deal with the Tyler Skaggs tragedy a couple of weeks ago, as they found him dead in his hotel room in Southlake when they were in town to play the Rangers. So they went from that Texas series to Houston before the All-Star break. And then after the All-Star break, they open up against the Seattle Mariners at home. It's the Angels' first home game since the tragedy. And they start out with a touching ceremony before. They had his family out there, Skaggs' family. His mom throws out the first pitch. Throws a really good first pitch, by the way. His mom, Debbie, throws a complete strike. And that was a good tone setter for the night. And it brought the spirits up. So the game itself, though, you had Taylor Cole start the game. He comes on, pitches a couple innings, and hands it over to Felix Pena. So Taylor Cole starts as the opener, hands it off to Pena. Flash forward to the ninth inning. We still have a combined no-hitter going here. It's 13-0. Skaggs' close friend, Mike Trout, hit a home run. Also had a double in this one. And I should also mention that everybody on the Angels is wearing a Skaggs 45 jersey. So paying tribute to their fallen teammate. Really cool moment in Anaheim. And then just the game itself, you get to the ninth inning. Oh, man, we might be seeing a no-hitter on a night that's dedicated to their pitcher who's no longer with the team. The coolest thing was to see if they can finish off this combined no-hitter. And sure enough, they went ahead and did just that. And let's hear a little bit here, courtesy of Fox Sports West and KLAA.
And this is ground ball to second base. Brent Hefel falls down, picks it up, fires the first. The Angels have no hit. The Seattle Mariners.
13-0, the final. On a night where the Angels honored Tyler Skaggs, every single Angel player wearing his number and name on the back of their uniforms.
Absolute chills when I was watching this. I got home after Rangers post game, turned on the TV because I knew this no-hitter was still in progress. There was actually another no-hitter rolling into the seventh inning. Mike Fiers almost put up a very strong case for his third career no-hitter and second of the season, but that one ended, so all eyes were on Anaheim as the Angels were just trying to cap off what was an extremely emotional night for them and their fans and everybody involved. And what a touching way to do it. What a cool way to do it, to throw a combined no-hitter in honor of Tyler Skaggs, the pitcher. And afterwards, Mike Trout said that was just a cool way to honor him.
Tonight was in honor of him, and you know, he was definitely looking over us tonight, and he's probably, you know, up there, you know, saying we're nasty, and you know, just what an unbelievable game to be a part of. Like I said, it was just, you know, I'm speechless. I can't this is the best way possible to honor him tonight, and it was pretty crazy.
That was just so cool. Sometimes you get those moments in sports that you just know it's bigger than the game itself and it's bigger than everything on the field. And then to have just everything working perfectly in concert last night, I hope I don't sound like prisoner in the moment here, but I'm already putting that one in like the top 10, top 5 coolest baseball moments of my lifetime, considering the circumstances and it still being a no-hitter. You're seeing the best player in baseball, Mike Trout, have a Mike Trout night. I think he had like 6 RBIs in this one, and it was the Angels' first no-hitter since Jared Weaver did so in 2012. And I'm playing one more cut here. This was Felix Pena, who was the pitcher who closed out the game there. So again, he was the second pitcher. There's only 2 used last night after Taylor Cole, the opener. And this was him saying, bigger than baseball.
I felt it. I felt it. Every time I was in the mound, I was trying to remember his words that he gave me, and every time he said to me, focus, no matter what happened, focus every at bat, every pitch.
Small heart attack there when he said focus the first time, but I think that was his translator speaking for him, by the way. But Felix Pena there with the words coming from him. I mean, what more can you say? As much as that fan base and that team and his teammates have had to go through the last couple weeks and to get back in front of their home crowd, there was plenty of tributes and there was stuff going on outside the stadium with like memorials and, you know, tributes to him. It was such a cool moment last night in Anaheim. I'm going to remember that forever. That was just a cool moment. But, you know, the Angels, it's hard to not root for them sometimes now. Like that night they were playing the Rangers, after the night after the tragedy, even if you're a Ranger fan, you were wanting to see the Angels have a good night. And then same thing last night. And sure enough, perfect, almost a perfect game, a no-hitter, combined no-hitter. It was such a cool moment. So hats off to the Angels organization. But coming up next here, one more segment to go and the Rangers wrap up. Let's get into some trade rumors. The Rangers made a trade today. Maybe there's more coming. Maybe there's more big moves to be had elsewhere on Major League Baseball. We'll kind of look into that. Maybe just kind of take a trip around the rumor mill coming up next on the Rangers Wrap-Up on 103.3 FM ESPN. Final segment here on the Rangers Wrap-Up on 103.3 FM ESPN. My name's Taylor Phillips. This is your all-new, all-baseball show on Saturday afternoons. Every Saturday at 4 o'clock, barring some crazy day game with the Rangers that might bump it like last weekend. So one more segment to go here as we wrap things up. About 7 minutes left in the show. I want to get into some trade deadline stuff as we're now about 2 weeks away from the July 31st trade deadline, which is really cool this year how it's not the July 31st deadline, but then you got the non-waiver deadline and the waiver deadline in August, and it's almost like there's more added time, and it's not like what you have in other sports and you get it all in one day, or they have the deadline and there's after that it's nothing. In baseball there was kind of multiple days like that, and they've now shortened that to just July 31st, so everything goes between now and then, and I can't wait because there's a lot of names that could be moving around that we'll touch on here in a second. But real quickly, was a trade made by your Texas Rangers today that was first reported by Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times, as the Rangers have acquired infielder Nick Solak from the Rays for righty Peter Fairbanks. And just a little bit about Solak. He's 24 and he slugged 17 homers for AAA Durham this season. And he ranks pretty highly in the Rays, was ranked pretty highly, I should say, in the Rays organization. I think he was number 12. And, you know, I guess when you're looking at the struggles that Rougned Odor's had, and there are other infielders in their system that's made some noise, I'm not even going to bother getting into on this show, but never hurts to add some more depth, especially when someone's ranked 12 in the Rays organization. That usually means he's probably going to be ranked pretty high in the Rangers organization, because the Rays organization's pretty good. They've had a lot of good names, even this year, where we've seen Brendan McKay make his debut against the Rangers a couple weeks ago. Willie Adames was somebody that people really were excited to see a couple years ago. And in return, the Rays pick up Peter Fairbanks that we briefly saw here in a Rangers uniform. He had 8 games with the Rangers, gave up 4 home runs in 8 2/3 innings. That was kind of his undoing, was just couldn't keep the ball in the ballpark. Some things to like with, you know, the velocity, but, you know, I guess the Rangers thought, you know what, it was 25 years old, not exactly putting up the numbers they wanted to see. I guess they just wanted to make a change there. So Peter Fairbanks, we hardly knew you. 8 games, now he's gone. But at least he's now with another serious contender, the Rays, who are still in that wild card and can maybe make a run there in the American League East. But, you know, the Yankees have been absolutely surging. And let's just move on to those Yankees real quick as we get into some possible trade deadline stuff, as their GM, Brian Cashman, was talking a little bit about maybe their plans moving forward in the trade deadline as that gets a little closer. And I think if you're the Yankees, there's 2 things that stick out with them. One, can they add another starting pitcher? Because they've had good pitching this year. They've had Domingo Germán, who had a really good start last night for the Yankees. Masahiro Tanaka has had his moments this year as well, where he's been really good. And They don't have Luis Severino right now because he's out with an injury, and they have some minor leaguers that also can maybe make an impact as the year goes on. But then it's one, can they add another pitcher with guys like Zach Wheeler of the Mets kind of being linked possibly to the Yankees, but I think they want kind of a high asking price for him. Madison Bumgarner of the Giants could be somebody maybe they make a run for, which I think with that market, Madison Bumgarner would not be phased. Because Madison Bumgarner in the postseason, if you remember in 2014 and even the wild card game, 2016, I think that was against the Mets when he was pitching out there in Citi Field and dominated. Madison Bumgarner is one of the best postseason pitchers of all time. And you get him out there with the Yankees team that is very much poised to make a World Series run this year. They have been the last couple of years, but especially this year. Madison Bumgarner would be a guy I would love to see in pinstripes. And partly because, you know, I'm a Dodgers fan. It'd be kind of, as much as I'll miss the rivalries of Madison Bumgarner and guys like Puig in the past and Max Muncy this year, go get the ball out of the ocean. Madison Bumgarner is still a really good pitcher, and he can hit. Won't be able to see that in the American League, unfortunately, if he goes to the Yankees. But Madison Bumgarner, who is a free agent after the year, he could be very well making his way to the Bronx. Richard Justice, a great MLB writer for MLB.com, actually has the Yankees listed as the front runner on this article titled Seven Most Likely to be Traded and Where They'll Go. Madison Bumgarner going to the Yankees is looking like one. And also, someone else is a front runner for a top-end starting pitcher, the Yankees, Trevor Bauer of the Cleveland Indians, who was set to be a free agent after the 2020 season, so would still get another year with them. Trevor Bauer, great stuff. Also has postseason success. If you don't think about the drone thing a couple years ago, that was a ridiculous situation. But I can remember in 2017, looked really good against the Astros, one of those starts. So Trevor Bauer is another name that could be on the move there going to the Yankees. They also have the Dodgers and the Red Sox and the Brewers listed as teams that he can go to. And the Mets, Zach Wheeler is another guy. Zach Wheeler, if you remember, you know, had some arm issues a couple years ago. He was kind of really highly regarded at one point. He hadn't pitched in a while, and they're already looking at they can maybe move him. He's a free agent after the year. They had the Red Sox list as the front runner with the Twins, Astros, Dodgers, and Cardinals all in there as well. The Mets also had names like Jacob deGrom and Noah Syndergaard listed as names that could maybe go. They've kind of backed off on that. They seem to want to move the contracts that are going to really restrict them, the Jason Vargas and the Todd Frazier's of that team, trying to move those contracts. They don't really want to give up on Jacob deGrom. The dude's dominant. And Noah Syndergaard at times has been, but it's got to suck when you're a Mets fan and you've been hearing about all the starting pitching all these years. I mean, Matt Harvey's there. Rafael Montero was a big name. Now, last I checked, he was in the Rangers organization. So the Mets already looking to go even further into a rebuild, and it's already been a train wreck of a year for them in time. So a lot to look forward to between now and then at the trade deadline. So again, thank you for listening this week to the Rangers Wrap-Up every Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock, your all-new, all-baseball show here on 103.3 FM ESPN.